Chapter 8. I stayed on the hill and observed the battle scene in front of me. Screaming Morlocks rushed blindly in front of the fire. Smoke streamed across the sky, and tiny stars shone. Two Morlocks crashed into me, and I punched them hard with my fist while trembling with fear. It was a nightmare, and I screamed aloud to try and wake myself up. I beat my fists on the ground and rubbed my eyes with my hands. Finally, the sky began to lighten over the red of the fire, the smoke, and the blackened tree trunks. Day was coming, and the Morlocks retreated to their underground caves. I searched again for a sign of Weena, but there was none. I felt certain the Morlocks had left her poor little body in the forest. I saw in the distance the Green Palace, and that enabled me to figure out the direction I needed to go in to return to the White Sphinx. My left heel was painful and bleeding, and I tied some grass over my feet and limped across the burnt ashes. I felt lonelier than ever before, knowing that my little Weena had died a horrible death. Now that I am back here with you in my own house, it all seems like a terrible dream. I walked painfully on in the brightening morning. I had my iron bar in one hand and my other hand in my pocket. I made a great discovery. In my trouser pocket, there were still some loose matches. I think they fell out of the box before it was stolen by the Morlocks. I could still make fire. This discovery gave me hope again. At about 8 or 9 o'clock, I arrived at the yellow metal bench where I had sat on my first evening in this world. I remembered my initial interpretation of the world I had landed in and how mistaken I had been about everything. The place looked the same beautiful flowers and fruit, the magnificent ruins, the silver river, and the people's colourful robes as they wandered in the trees. A few of the Eloi were bathing in the spot where I had rescued Weena, and I felt sorry again. What had happened to my loyal friend? The deep wells with their little roofs were still visible. They reminded me of the other world underground. The Eloi were content with the pleasant day, just as cows in the field are content. And their end would be the same. As well as my grief for Weena, I also felt grief for humankind. We had aimed for balance and security, for comfort and ease, and this was the result. I'm sure there was a perfect world for a time, a world with wealth and peace. But humans need challenge and difficulty in order to progress. These humans of the future had forgotten that. Without a challenge, humankind had stopped progressing and had become less intelligent. The Morlocks underground had the intelligence they needed to operate their machines, but they had run out of meat. The Eloi in the sunshine needed nothing, but they had become the food of the Morlocks. This was my interpretation on my final day in 802,701. Of course, this explanation might be as wrong as my first, but that is how I saw it. My night of danger and adventure had exhausted me. I sat in the sunshine and closed my eyes and slept until just before sunset. When I woke up, I felt safe from the Morlocks as I walked down the hill towards the White Sphinx. I had my iron bar in one hand and my remaining matches in the other. When I reached the statue, I found a very surprising thing. A door had opened in the back of the platform. I hesitated. I could see a small apartment, and, in the corner, my time machine. I was astonished to see it had been cleaned and oiled. The Morlocks had clearly been examining it to figure out what it was for. I went forward and put a hand on the shiny metal, and just then, the thing I had expected to happen happened. The door banged shut, and I was in the dark. The Morlocks thought I was trapped. I laughed to myself. I could already hear the quiet mumbling of the Morlocks as they came towards me. I tried to light a match very calmly, but I had forgotten one thing. These matches needed the box for me to light them. I panicked. The first Morlock reached me, and I felt one hand on me, followed by many more. I swung my iron bar blindly and felt for the machine's levers in my pocket. As I pulled them out, a small hand grabbed one from me, and I had to smash its head with my bar in order to get it back. The sound of the bar on the Morlock's head in that small space was terrifying. I managed to fix the levers into position on my time machine. I climbed into my seat and pushed hard. The gripping hands fell away from me. The time machine trembled, and I felt the same sensations I had experienced on my journey to this world.